Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Jones, sitting in for Gio, Randy Cross, my main man from over on the television side.
PJ.
What's happening, RC?
Not much, man. Not much.
Doing well?
Not much. Crazy, kind of a crazy, boring Monday sports-wise. Huh?
It was. The Monday night football game got a little interesting near the end.
Threatened.
Yeah, it got threatened. Better. Little threat from Denver after all the turnovers and drop passes and penalties that they amassed in that ballgame. No way you're going to win, especially on the road, playing a good team like Kansas City.
Yeah, they still didn't cover.
Still didn't cover, exactly. So a lot of breaking news during that game. It was just amazing, all the things that were occurring simultaneously as the Monday Night Football game was going on, which Kansas City Chiefs won, by the way, if you haven't heard. You got the Ezekiel Elliott story, this back and forth between courts, and now the injunction has been lifted, and we'll see if he and his representatives will appeal, and if they do, we can stay on the football field for the foreseeable future. If not, start serving his 6-game suspension. But even bigger than that, quarterback news. That's always bigger than anything, especially when you're talking the NFL. But
yep.
Jimmy Garoppolo being traded to a team, an organization that you played for and won 3 Super Bowl rings, the San Francisco 49ers. I know you were just out there recently celebrating a former teammate who's not doing so well right now, Dwight Clark.
Mm-hmm.
But a huge trade in which Kyle Shanahan, the new head coach, John Lynch, the new GM there, are making moves now. The future is right now as they go out and trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. And this is huge because we've been talking for the last few years about the Patriots and what they were going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, because it seems like Tom Brady can play forever. Some have said 41, 42, whatever he is. He's right at 40, I believe. But he said he could play at least another 5 years.
Right.
And maybe he can.
Didn't we all?
Exactly. Until we couldn't, of course. But here's a guy who's always maintained a great work ethic and even more so taking care of his body off the field with this just insane diet, if we want to call it that. But he still looks like he did, you know, when he was massing that first Super Bowl, and now he has 5 rings to speak of. But a huge trade, and now how quickly can Jimmy Garoppolo get caught up with this Kyle Shanahan system? I would think it would take a while, especially not having training camp to sift through his playbook.
It'll take a little while. You know, Jimmy's a sharp guy, obviously. It's more, I think, going into that system twofold. You know, one is the teams are going to play, so how do you adjust to those new teams? And number 2, body armor, because you're going to need body armor, brother. Those guys, that is not a very good offensive line. They are bad.
And it just took a huge hit with Joe Staley being out.
Broke his orbital.
Well, and Fletcher Cox had a little to do with it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And he was supposedly on the trade block, that he was like one of the chips they had that somebody might want. So, no Staley on that line. That's going to be bad for him. What a great deal for the Patriots. The Patriots get, for all intents and it's a first-round pick. It's that pick in the draft, and we're always doing draft shows in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
It's that pick everybody wants.
Yeah.
They don't want to have to pay first-round prices, but you get basically the first pick of the second round, which is the 33rd pick, because the Niners are going to be, they might win one.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 games this year. So New England trades their backup quarterback, and in exchange, they get a first round pick and a backup quarterback. They get Brian Hoyer.
Yeah. A guy who they know from his previous stint there.
Because if you think that's unrelated,
yeah,
you got some learning to do.
Yeah.
Because That was part of the deal.
And he's a player.
You cut him, we'll sign him.
Right.
We don't have a backup. He can be Tom's backup.
And he has regressed. Brian Hoyer has, especially this year. I guess he started his first six ball games.
Yeah.
And has his worst passer rating in the last 5 or 6 years. And he's been a perennial backup. Yeah, he's had stints where he's been the starter, but it hasn't bode well for him as a starter. So now he goes back to a system which he knows like the back of his hand, a system which he grew up in as far as his NFL tenure. And they know him. He knows them. So he'll be able to fit right into
and
that
And a pretty
machine.
Good group of players around him.
Yeah. That night fit, day.
That fit what they do, which is what people always forget about the Patriots. They go, oh, they're not that good. Well, you don't have to be good when everybody has a role and everybody does what they do really well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the opposite for Jimmy Garoppolo. You go from the Super Bowl winning football team, which has studs pretty much everywhere. I know there's some questions about this defense still, even though they've won their last four ball games, sitting there at 6-2 heading into a bye week, or the New England Patriots. But Garoppolo, now you're going to an offense, as you just mentioned, challenged on the offensive line. Trent Brown, the other tackle, I believe he sat out last week. He had a concussion, but they like what he brings to the table. He's
How's a guy that big get a concussion?
Yeah.
He fall down?
I hear you, man. two guys who've had a few of them.
Yeah, dude's gigantic.
He is a big man.
Yeah.
I hate to have to feed him.
It's an okay offense from a toys perspective. Their running backs and receivers are serviceable. They're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, the offensive line's pretty bad. They have no. There's no there. That used to be a term that famous author said about Oakland across the bay, that there's no there. Right now in Santa Clara, where that stadium is, there's no there. There's no reason.
Yeah, we thought the Patriots were going to be in peril. They lose Julian Edelman, a key target in that offense. Of course, you still have Gronk and Chris Hogan, who came over a year ago. He's been fabulous since he's put on that number 15 for the Patriots. And you go out and you get Brandon Cooks. And so, you know, they have a plethora of options to go to. Now, you look at San Francisco, my man Marquise Goodwin, hook 'em horns. You got Pierre Garcon. He's been in. He left the game the other day versus the Eagles with a neck injury. So you're not really.
Garcon's what, like 40 now?
Yeah, he's getting up there in dog years, right? And then the young player, George Kittle. And I would think, though, even though Garoppolo's going over there this week, C.J. Beathard would still be the number one option until they can get Jimmy Garoppolo a little acclimated.
More importantly for the Niners, you know, John Lynch has shown. He's got a pretty good handle on what he wants to do.
Yeah.
What he's got is pretty limited, but he's also at his disposal, and that's all a matter of what the owners want to do with it. By the start of this offseason, they could have about $100 million in cap space.
Right.
$100 million.
You can do a little bit of shopping with that.
So they can be a force in free agency if they want to pay, if they want to spend that kind of money.
That is Randy Cross. I am Brian Jones. As you know, we're coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. They're sitting on a boatload of cash, man.
Yeah.
And so you go out, and I would think the first option, especially now that you have your quarterback of the future, your first priority will be, let's make sure we protect him. So we got to go, and we talk about this all the time. I know you believe this because you played on that offensive line in myriad positions, all pro at different positions on the offensive line. That's where you have to start building. So if you're San Francisco, especially you got an offensive-minded head coach now in Kyle Shanahan,
yep.
I'm going to protect this investment. And I think they pay him about $500,000 for the rest of this year, and then they can franchise him if they choose to do so. But I'm going to build up this offensive line. I'm not going to be like the Indianapolis Colts that have drafted their future in Andrew Luck, and now we see what he's dealing with, the shoulder and the pain he keeps experiencing.
You mean if you can't protect your quarterback, it's not best to draft a receiver in the first round?
Yeah,
that's a problem.
And one that you've now shipped to New England
yeah.
for another quarterback?
Yeah. No, I would anticipate, and the Niners, that's how they got – good, you know, a period of time, what, probably about 6-7 years ago. And that's when Mike Nolan was there and Scotty McLuhan, and they drafted Staley. and they drafted Mikey Potty, and they drafted, I mean, they had a pretty badass offensive line, got them to the Super Bowl, and for various reasons, much not completely unlike Seattle in some cases, they kind of decided that that wasn't where they wanted to spend all their money. And their offensive line suddenly just kind of dissolved. And, so they'll have to put that back together.
Right, and speaking of Seattle, Dwayne Brown, who just reported to the facilities there in Houston, their best offensive lineman who had been holding out, he reports, and you have all this drama with Bob McNair, the chairman and founder of that organization. Now, he's been traded to Seattle, and Seattle, even though they've been winning ball games, Russell Wilson's been running for his life. They have no rushing game to speak of, so they get a huge lift at the tackle position, which they've needed, because they've been going with this alternative route. We're going to take athletes, guys that played D-line, guys that played basketball, and try to turn them into offensive tackles and guards, and that hasn't been working out so well for them. Now they get Dwayne Brown. I think that's that trade for Seattle, while it's not a quarterback, I think it's just as significant, because he's going to be penciled in right now.
Oh, yeah.
And where Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to get up to speed with this new system he's going to have.
Well, I mean, Dwayne Brown's going to have to protect the franchise,
yep,
which everyone's done a pretty crappy job of protecting over the last year or two by their actions. You know, as far as the front office.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's fantastic for Russell. It'll be even better for the running backs. And Dwayne Brown can be happy. You know, he's going to probably get a deal. He's got another year after this on his contract. So, you know, Schneider up there in Seattle has said, hey, look, we're going to get his deal done. May not be immediately. You think about that. They've got some problems when it comes to cap space.
Oh, yes. Seattle definitely does. All the guys they've had to lock
up. That's why
up.
They lost their offensive line to start with.
Right.
You know, because they couldn't have Unger. They couldn't have all these guys. So they had to spend the money on the defensive side.
I think that was the hugest. That may have been a seminal moment for that offensive line when they lost Max Unger.
Yeah.
He went down to New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah. So Jimmy Graham goes up to Seattle. Unger goes down to New Orleans.
There was a Jimmy Graham sighting this weekend, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a couple touchdowns. Just about the time people were getting ready to forget about
him. Yeah, the big man has been balling. That was a heck of a game. It may have been the best game Sunday. I mean, the back and forth going on there. And
you know, anything can happen because it's young in a career. But I had to laugh watching that game for all the stuff around the draft and stuff. People were talking about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going, nah, dude, this guy's going to be really good. No, you don't understand. When you look at the velocity and the spin rate, and you're going, God, get your head out of your butt.
Yeah.
And that's got nothing to do with football.
The other knock was interceptions. They ticked up. I think he had two more last year than he did in his the previous season.
He had six instead of four.
Right.
Yeah, that's a concern.
Yeah.
but, yeah, he looked like, and we all know, you know, you can play well early in your career, but, if, you know, after the first couple of years, the league kind of figures you out.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he adjusts to the rest of the league. But he's looking good, and there's some really, really fine young players.
Yep. And you're talking about a rookie quarterback who's going to make his rookie mistakes, but he more than makes up for those mistakes. With
that game, that back and forth.
Yeah, that was outstanding.
That football was like Ohio State, Penn State.
Yes, it was. Yeah, that definitely was. And Richard Sherman has now said that that's the best quarterback they've faced all year. And here's a guy who's seen a ton of quarterbacks, and he said that's the best one we've faced all year, Deshaun Watson. And so I'm sure he's probably not too happy that Dwayne Brown, who he hadn't had a ton of time to play with, is now moving on. But the fact that he's so athletic and get out of harm's way, threw a touchdown the other day in that game where he had guys draped all
over
his way.
How's that worked out for Russell?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure Deshaun's going, well, dude, wait a minute. You traded my tackle?
You just got here. Just learning his name, man. Come on. And so Deshaun Watson doing his thing. Of course, Russell Wilson running for his life, but still posting some big numbers. So with this trade, the Seahawks get Dwayne Brown, of course, the all-pro left tackle. And in exchange, they send cornerback Jeremy Lane to Houston along with a 2018 fifth-round pick and a 2019 second-round pick, so we'll see what Houston can do with those picks down the line. I would think now their priority, losing or sending Dwayne Brown up nor to Seattle, they have to address their offensive line because they want to protect their franchise quarterback.
You would think. But, you know, NFL organizations think kind of differently because they've seen this done, and that's one of the reasons Seattle did what they did. They think that you can grow organically offensive linemen. And some you can. You can sign free agents, and you can draft them lower in the draft, mm-hmm. and you can teach them, and you can bring them along. But those blocks, you don't bring those along. Those are the guys you draft and hold for 10 years.
Yeah.
And those come along.
Russell Okung is one they
maybe one in a draft.
Yeah.
And they're going to be lucky because so now there's two teams looking for the same guy.
There you go. Exactly. And sometimes you have an athletic quarterback like a Russell Wilson, like a Deshaun Watson, that can lull you to sleep, give you some false security. You think, well, this guy can get out of harm's way, but for how long? How long? Because you're going to get caught in this league.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care how athletic you are at that position. They're going to catch up to you at some point.
They will figure you. Yeah, ask Cam.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask Cap. Ask a bunch of guys
right. That
start really well. And the best adjustment to the league I've seen is Cam Newton. But he came in throwing touchdowns, being in the pocket. So he didn't have that big-time transition.
Yeah, they had a dynamite offensive line back then.
Oh, yeah.
They were pretty stacked at that point. Randy Cross sitting in for Gio. This is Gio and Jones. Give us a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. We're talking NFL trades. We're going to have a couple guests to come on and discuss college football, pro football, Charles Davis, NFL. And Fox, NFL on Fox analyst, Corey Chavis, college football analyst for CBS Sports Network. We know Corey pretty well, know Charles pretty well. Also, we can talk some Tennessee football with Charles. That's his alma mater.
I'm sure he can't wait to do that.
I'm getting blown up by these former Tennessee players. I know a few of them, play with a few at the next level. Sure. They are killing me. I don't want to hear about your Tennessee problem. Really? I don't worry about that other UT.
It's a case of mistaken identity. You got me confused with somebody that cares.
Exactly. I'm trying to get my Longhorns up past 500. So all that and a lot more coming up on Gio and Jones.
This is Kevin from Youngstown, and every day I start my morning with listening to Gio and Jones in the morning.
Is this an ode to Randy Cross because he lives in Atlanta? My heart is in Atlanta? That's a new one.
I believe she's saying Havana.
She said Havana.
And East Atlanta.
I thought I heard Atlanta in there too, man.
Okay.
Get ATL some love. Randy Cross sitting in for Gio on Gio and Jones. Havana, Atlanta. I've done Atlanta. I need to do Havana now. Go back in time. Friends have gone there.
You won't confuse the two.
No, you will not. No. You definitely won't. My buddies have been over there a couple times. Like, yeah, it's like going back in time. Just a little bit. Yeah.
The 50s.
Yeah, exactly. Time stopped for them. Randy Cross once again sitting in for Gio and Jones. My man Andrew Bogish here to give us an update. Andrew, you feeling better today? Because you were a little worn out yesterday, dog.
Is that true?
Just a little bit. I was too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
You were all less than better men?
Yeah.
Yeah, we gave ourselves more room to improve yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
I think we
did
okay.
Hopefully we'll. We'll take it to another level today.
Fingers crossed. So Monday Night Football was Jamaal Charles' return to Kansas City. It did not go well for the former Chiefs running back.
Second down, 6. Charles again goes the right side again. The Chiefs. Now ball comes off. The ball's ripped up. Picked up by Peters at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. 5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Oops. Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. First of 5 takeaways from the KCD. 2 fumbles, 3 picks. Harrison Butker kicked 5 field goals. And Alex Smith threw a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce, all for a 29-19 decision over the Broncos. Andy Reid's team had lost 2 straight.
Sometimes it's hard to get right back on that winning thing. And so I was proud of the guys.
You know, that winning thing. KC stays even with New England and Pittsburgh atop the AFC at 6-2. Denver's now 3-4. Those Patriots dealing Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers yesterday for a second-round pick, which they're apparently trying to turn into D-line help. Bill Belichick also needs a backup QB because Tom Brady is the only quarterback currently on his roster. San Francisco expected to waive Brian Hoyer, who was once a Patriot. The Texans dealing left tackle Dwayne Brown to Seattle for corner Jeremy Lane and a pair of picks. Bears linebacker Jarrell Freeman gets a 10-game PED suspension. Ezekiel Elliott once again given a 6-game domestic violence suspension. A U.S. District Court Judge of Manhattan yesterday denied Elliott's request for an injunction. His legal team does have 24 hours to consider an appeal. The Dodgers and Astros are back in L.A. for Game 6 of the World Series, 5:20 local time first pitch at Chavez Ravine. Justin Verlander, Rich Hill on the mound with Houston, one win away from its first title. Away from the postseason, the Phillies hired Gabe Kapler. The Nats named Dave Martinez their new manager. Kapler spent the last three seasons running the Dodgers minor league system. Martinez has been Joe Maddon's bench coach in Tampa Bay and now Chicago. And he played 431 games as an Expo. How about those Philadelphia 76ers?
James Harden leading over the right hand dribble. Now a burst to the left hand into the lane. TJ's right there. They knock it away, and they force Harden into a turnover. Embiid picked it up. Here comes Simmons on a dash. Simmons into the lane. Simmons with a jam. Take that, PJ Tucker.
Tom McGinnis.
Whoa, man. Don't do that to my Longhorn.
On
PJ
Sixers
Tucker.
Radio. Hook 'em. Philly hadn't won in Houston since February of 2011. 115-107. The final last night with Simmons scoring a career-high 24 plus 7 rebounds. And nine
the kid
assists.
Is balling. Sat out all last year, of course, and now he's come in with a bang. I mean, he may be legit.
Maybe. The Warriors ran over the Clippers in L.A., 141-113. The Raptors down the Blazers, 99-85. The Jazz handled the Mavs, 104-89. Boston, 108. San Antonio, 94. And the T-Wolves got by the Heat, 125-122. In OT in Miami. Tiger Woods.
Tried to activate my glutes as best I could.
And this time they stayed activated. Tiger will return to competitive golf at the end of November at the Hero World Challenge, an event that he hosts. Tiger had his fourth back surgery in the spring.
Gentlemen. Ouch! Tiger Woods is back. See, I'm going to win that bet finally with Gio. We had a bet that Tiger wouldn't play or win another tournament.
Another tournament or another major?
He would not win another tournament, I believe. Oh, okay. Was it Mikey be a tournament?
Just a tournament.
Yeah, he just wouldn't win a tournament.
He might.
41, hasn't played in about 9 or 8 months, so or 8 or 9 months, excuse me. And
got a lot of competitive juice backed up. He hasn't done it for a while. Activates him glutes. So he'll fix that pretty quick.
You play a little golf. Your glutes shut off when you're playing?
Yeah, I'm kind of old. Those glutes shut off anyway.
Mine shut off too, man. That spinal stenosis. You stand too long and everything goes numb. It's no fun. So that's going to be.
I don't know about that one.
Well, I do, unfortunately. And the first time I experienced it, I was walking around here in New York City about 3-4 years ago, and all of a sudden my whole scrotum went numb. It's like, what the hell? And as you might imagine, it scared
me. I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Like, what is going on? And. When got checked out, my chiropractor.
That'll get you checked. You went to the chiropractor?
I went and had my man do some x-rays on me and MRI. Okay. And you got a little spinal stenosis going on. So chiropractor's been helping out. Yoga definitely helps.
I wish my Dodgers had that good excuse.
Yeah. We're going to get to your Dodgers,
it's gonna
man.
It's going
to
go seven.
You think it's going to go seven?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We're going to get to your Dodgers because that bullpen, they've been getting to it. And I think they are worn out. Good thing for them they had a day off and a couple of days off, and they can hopefully get some rest in that bullpen. But first, I want to talk about Monday night's football game. I want to talk about the Broncos because this team is struggling here all of a sudden. And in that first half, the biggest question was, okay, Trevor Siemian, is he the future? Is he the right now? Heck with the future. Can we still believe in him? Because that first half was woeful. Now, not all of the issues were on him.
October is not very good to them.
No.
September, pretty good.
Yeah.
October, no.
You had guys dropping touchdown passes, Fowler right there in the end zone. You had Trevor Siemian making just boneheaded mistakes. He went back to that in that last pick he threw, going back across his body, going back
inside.
To the middle of the field.
Yeah, always a good idea.
Yeah. But he was off. Marcus Peters, what a way to start a game. You get a fumble, another Longhorn, Jamal Charles, longtime Chief, gets the ball ripped from his arms by Peters, who scoops it up and scores, and then he gets a pick, that ball that Siemian threw right to him. I mean, he didn't even really have to jump. It was as if he was the receiver. So you got Vance Joseph who comes out and said, this is my guy. We're going to stick with him. We haven't gotten anything from Paxton Lynch. You saw a lot of Paxton Lynch call some of his games when he was at Memphis. What do you see? What's your analysis of this offense for the Broncos?
Well, I think as the morning dawned after that Monday night performance, Simeon's going to find out really, really fast that no matter who it is in that building, they're with him win or tie. And
That's usually how it is, isn't
it? Yeah. And he's the absolute starting quarterback today. And just don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Or just he's got to earn it. It just he's not that special. People get anointed too quick around here. And I think the beginning of the year, he looked really good that first month.
Yep.
But, man, the last couple of weeks, they've even looked bad on defense.
Yeah.
And their defense has been really good.
Well, if you can't run the ball, which people have been snuffing out, if you can't do that, you're going to put the onus on the quarterback. And, and he's not one right now that could necessarily carry an offense. Now, Brock Osweiler knows that offense. He was happy to go back to Denver after, of course, leaving there to sign for big money at Houston, then being traded to Cleveland and released from there and going back to the Broncos. Do you insert him into the fold now?
I think that will be the implied threat. But I don't believe you want to jump in. The last thing you want to do is get into a real back-and-forth quarterback deal because that puts you in a position where you really – that means you don't have one, and that means you've got to go out. And, again, Denver has to try to find the next guy.
Yeah, they're back in the fold.
There's no more 40-year-old retiring guys at Indianapolis or – you know, they've never really figured out that position – for an extended period of time. And I'll give Jake Plummer some due. He played pretty well for for a good period. But, you know, it's the problem with being a quarterback at a place as good as John Elway was. You just don't – people act like those grow on trees. And now our next guy will be just like that.
You get Peyton Manning, and he brings a ton of excitement. Now, his last year there, you won a Super Bowl, but that was more about that defense than it was about Peyton Manning, who was dealing with injuries. And so he was not 100% Peyton Manning.
Yeah, well, it's a different team. It's a different – it's built differently. It's a defensive football team.
And they're going to have to carry the water for this team, I think, for the foreseeable future. They've lost, you know, a number of games here lately, and after getting off to a good start, beating the Chargers, Young Way, the kicker for the Chargers, he had a lot to do with that. And then they knocked off the Cowboys, and we're thinking, okay, Denver's back. They've solidified the quarterback position with Simeon. He can really be the leader of this offense, along with that running game, C.J. Anderson and Booker. But now with the offense struggling, the defense has not been able to hold up. So they've got a lot of soul searching to do there. In Denver, but the Chiefs look good. Another team that's bouncing back from some losses, and they look pretty good. Alex Smith is just really
Arrowhead is still a really bad place to play.
Yeah.
And for all the preseason hype about Patrick Mahomes, and the young man may someday be really good. He's probably the luckiest backup quarterback in the NFL right now because he can be really good and learn a whole lot, and he doesn't have to. He can stay great. He can be that guy. Everybody thinks he's great. He's on the bench. Hey, Alex Smith is all he does is win. All he does is throw touchdowns and make big plays. It's all he's ever really done. He's been on some bad teams, but you know, if you want to, how fast were people to say throw him over at the beginning during the preseason this year? Now you know, it's like you stink. You know, how do I smell
I wasn't.
From here?
Yeah, I thought he had really taken his game up a few notches when he went over to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he was actually playing well there with San Francisco. And then, of course, Jim Harbaugh, the coach at the time, he opted for Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. But what Alex Smith has done here the last couple of years with Kansas City and Andy Reid has been phenomenal. This guy looks the part. You saw him last night moving up in the pocket, evading pressure, running. Third, and I think it was 10, and he's picking up the first down with his wheels. He's still a very athletic quarterback. Did he miss on a couple of throws? Yeah.
Well, you forget when he played for Urban Meyer at Utah, that was an option. Yeah. That was an option offense. He was running the ball like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same offense that Tim Tebow ran there at Florida. And what you're seeing JT Barrett run now at Ohio State.
So he's another guy we don't bring up enough when we talk about quarterbacks that have kind of made that option transition into a real NFL quarterback.
True.
And he sure looked it last night.
And sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and think these guys should come in, especially if you're a number one overall pick and you're a quarterback. You got to come in and you have to perform right now. Well, this league is difficult. It is tough, no matter what position you play, especially a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's difficult to transition.
Ask Patrick Mahomes, who's now watching the tape and standing on the sideline. I'm sure when he sees the advanced trigonometry that's getting out there on defense, instead of that basic stuff he saw in the preseason,
right.
He's going,
yeah.
Okay. Go get him.
Yeah.
Go get him, Alex.
I'm 100% behind you, Alex Smith. Gio and Jones, Randy Cross sitting in for Gio. Our number is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We've got Cliff down in H-Town on the line. Cliff, welcome to CBS
Good
Sports
morning,
Radio.
Fellas. Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
Going great, man.
All right. Dwayne Brown was a cap casualty move. Really, just to go on and get him up out of here so we won't have to worry about him. We got a little help on the back end. I don't see us really making the playoffs this year, probably 8-8. And I'm just, you know, I know we got Davenport sitting over there waiting to get in there. He played 3 snaps yesterday. And from what I saw, he held Dwight Freeney pretty good. But I know you're a rookie. Got to give him time to get ready. Got Clark coming back in a week. Who knows what might happen.
So it doesn't seem like you're too happy about Dwayne Brown being shipped up to Seattle.
Well, I've been a Texas fan since 2002. I'm up and down with him. All the way from Don Cable to Derek Carr. It's just, I understand what they did. We just got to move on from it.
Yeah.
You sound stunned, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, Cliff doesn't seem too happy.
You know what he sounds like? He sounds like a fan that doesn't like it when money gets in the way of his football.
Right. Well, welcome to the 21st century. And if you've been there since 2002, you understand money is definitely always going to play a factor. And he meant to say David Carr. And I remember watching David Carr back in the day, and I was doing a post-game, Houston Texans post-game show for Fox Sports Southwest, and it was difficult to watch those games, to say the least.
David Carr had one of the worst, and a wonderful guy, and an offensive mind that very sharp, but for protecting quarterbacks,
right.
Chris Palmer had no regard, and he had the pelts of Carr and Couch to prove it.
I would agree.
Those guys were piñatas.
Yeah, and for all the vile and derisive things that were hurled at David Carr, the guy had no protection. I had to sit there. It was my job to watch Texans games. Trust me, I didn't want to, but it was my job to watch those games. You know, back 2005, 2006, 2004, I think is when I started there, Fox Sports Southwest, and to be forced to watch that and see this guy get just pelted, as you just described, week in, week out, and everyone's blaming it on him. It wasn't all on him. The guy was shell-shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, he came into the league with all that fair. It didn't help that his pops got involved and was, you know, talking out of turn.
Yeah.
That didn't help him one iota, but he was not the main problem. The main problem was there was no protection for that version of the Houston Texans. We'll see how it plays out now with Dwayne Brown, who they've been playing without all season until last week.
There. It seems like he's been there forever.
Yeah, he's been a mainstay and an all pro left tackle for those guys and a big leader on that football team. But now he moves on. And, yeah, money gets in the way of these things.
And you'd hear it in his voice, though. Yeah. Well, it's a dang cap casualty. Yeah.
Say it loud, Cliff. In 2008, Mikey B's when Dwayne Brown became a Houston Texan. Yeah, he's been one of the best players up front. And once again, as we were saying earlier, Deshaun Watson, man, guy just got here. And I've been hearing all these great things about him. And he's going to protect my backside. And now he's gone just like that. So I'm going to get to running and protect my own backside like I've been doing prior to him stepping back into the facility. So, that money gets in the way of a lot of things. But I would hope that, you know, Rick Smith, the GM there, and Bill O'Brien, they would understand that they need to have protection for their future. And they would go out, maybe in the draft or maybe during this offseason, free agency, get someone that can make
and
sure.
And short-term scheme.
Right. Yeah, just to ensure that your quarterback can stay upright.
Short-term, a fullback, an H-back, a tight end. Somebody's always available to help the offensive line out.
There you go.
One less receiver. I know that's not as modern. I know it's not as fun.
Yeah.
But for the health of your quarterback, it's probably a pretty good idea.
We're probably going to adopt 12 personnel, you know, one back and two tight ends or 13 personnel, something like that. Let's talk some college football when we come back. I got an expert to my left.
We're going to talk rat poison?
College Football Hall of Famer also to boot. All the Super Bowl rings, College Football Hall of Fame, you just have all the accolades, my man. So, yeah, we're going to talk about a little poison, a little rat poison, Nick Saban. How about telephone ringing in the middle of your press conference, and I wasn't even aware of this Moana song, but I've got
a 2-year-old granddaughter. I've heard that song a few times.
Well, Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State head coach, heard it yesterday. That and a lot more coming up on Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Gio and Jones, Brian Jones, Randy Cross sitting in for Gio, moonlighting again. All you out there tweeting, it's okay. We still cool. He will be back tomorrow, all right? Chill out. We yell and scream at each other every now and then. It's what happens in family, right?
That's right.
Got to yell at times, get it all out. But we cool. He'll be back.
Plus he had the vacation days coming.
Yeah. When we'll yell at him yell at each other some more when he gets back. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best, Wagner Thermal Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day and every week. Seems like we get something from Nick Saban. He's the gift that keeps on giving at his press conferences. We love it. But I believe think he's right. And you've been on championship teams at the professional level. I've been on championship teams everywhere except for the professional level. And you do have to keep that noise from outside in its proper place outside. And Nick Saban, with all the new guys who are now starting on this football team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, he's trying to ingrain that in his charges. And he was at it again yesterday when discussion of a little college football playoff came up.
Coach, the playoff poll will come out on Tuesday. You guys will probably be number one in it. Just how are you feeling about that, the poll, and where it, when it comes out, and how that may
I could care less about the poll. I mean, what significance does a poll have right now? I mean, all we're talking about here is the challenge of our season and where are we going to be in the poll if we don't play well in the next four games. So I'm focusing on the next four games. I could care less about the poll. You won't see me wasting any time watching TV or watching who's one, who's two, and it really doesn't matter. What really matters is how you play the rest of the season, how you focus the rest of the season, how you stay focused the rest of the season. If our players think anything of it, then that could be a problem and an issue too. And, you know, these are the things that we try to categorize as poison that you really don't want your players to be focusing on or thinking about. But I appreciate you asking so I could get this off my chest.
And he does have LSU this week.
Yeah. And I think an LSU team that will put up more of a fight than a lot of people believe, especially when you look at the line for this game. I think it's 21. Three touchdowns?
Yeah.
LSU is playing better football. They've found their stride. Now, this is going to be a great barometer going up against Alabama in their backyard, a team you haven't beaten in 6 years, to see what you're really working with. Defensively, I think they may be able to hang in here a little bit. Offensively, still challenged. But I agree with Nick Saban. Man, you don't worry about playoffs. And we talked about this Saturday on the CBS College Football Today set with Georgia. Georgia's not worried about the playoff rankings. They're worried about winning conference. And especially when you play in the SEC, you win your conference, you're in the playoff.
They look like the best team in the country. Georgia does. What's that good for after 8 weeks? That's good for nothing.
Nothing. Right.
Nothing. And that's why Nick Saban goes all Chris Rock. Because he's trying to keep his boys off the pole.
Exactly. Don't ingest that poison they're throwing out there.
Poison? Anyone?
And you got a bunch of new guys who are now hearing their names called. You're not backups anymore. You're not on the periphery. You are the guys now, especially on that defense side of the ball. Yeah, that can enter into your mindset. You start feeling good about yourself. Next thing you know, you stub your toe.
And it's not so much, heck, it's not another poll in the middle. It's not, the only one that really matters is the last one. Well, the next to last one, I should say. That sets the four. But outside of that, it's all jockeying. It's all movement. It's all, I think it's generally speaking, kind of BS that show us your cards, you know, the committee. You know, do you have an ulterior motive? Who you rooting for? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know one team that'll probably be in the top four, and that'll be the Golden Domers.
Yeah.
Off that performance they had last couple weeks. You know, even with that one loss, you know, people I think would assume maybe Ohio State, but nah, it's going to be Notre Dame.
So do you mind disclosing your top four as we sit here? I know we're going to do it later on tonight on television, but
yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I've got Bama, UGA, Wisconsin, and the aforementioned.
Notre Dame.
I think you got Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You can make those arguments that it's one of those three. As of now, one of those three teams.
And let's have that argument because I cannot put Ohio State ahead of Oklahoma. They came into your backyard.
Yeah.
They beat the brakes off of you in your backyard. And now I'm going to place you ahead of them. And, yeah, I know they lost at home to Iowa State. Well, Iowa State is not your mama's and daddy's Iowa State. This is a damn good football team. They just beat a top four team in TCU 14-7, a team that was averaging 41 points a game. They held them to 7 points. And this is a damn good Iowa State football team. So I'm similar to you. Bama, Georgia, Wisconsin, and it hurts even to say that, but Wisconsin's defense legit. Offensively, they can't run the rock. I don't think Hornibrook is going to take them anywhere.
No,
and they have a great schedule.
They won't last long.
Right. So I've got Bama, Georgia, Wisconsin, and then I'm going back and forth, Oklahoma, Notre Dame. And then I have Ohio State after that. And Clemson and Penn State. So I'm by the end of the day, when it's time for us to get on television, I'm going to have to figure out who that fourth team is. Yeah. Right now, it's Oklahoma. And like I said, I'm vacillating. Oklahoma, Notre Dame. But I'll have it straightened out by the end of the day when we're sitting on the set. So, yeah, this is going to be great fodder for us tonight to discuss and who gets hosed and who should have been in, should not have been in. You know, it's great drama, but I think looking back the last 3 years, two of the teams that have been in the initial college football rankings, they don't even make the playoffs.
Right.
I think that's been the trend.
Right, and the undefeated teams are the ones that usually suffer the most by the time the whole thing's over.
Yeah, so this is fun for us to discuss, just like those preseason polls. It's great, yeah, but what does it really mean? Nothing. Yeah,
nothing.
And
it's
now,
poison, damn
yeah, it.
It
is poison, and now you're sitting here.
Stay off the pole.
Thank you, Chris Rock. Chris Randy. We'll have a lot to discuss about that. It should be fun, but there's going to be more wild things happening. We have 7 ranked-on-ranked games this weekend. Last weekend was outstanding, especially in that 3:30 window. That was so much fun to see all those games.
When you got that format and you saw the games we were picking this week, man.
Yeah.
They're all coin tosses.
They are. They're all tough, man. I got my, you know what, handed to me last week in my picks. We'll see how I do.
I did okay as long as you're asking.
I'm sure you did.
I was 8-2.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
Back-to-back weeks, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what you are. You know. Hey, Randy Cross sitting in for Gio. I'm Brian Jones, of course, and we're coming back with more stuff to talk about.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.